This is K1 Tech Talk. Tech Talk, a place where we talk about the latest in technology, whether it's the computer and digital domain, or what people think of as the phone. That is something you carry around in your pocket or purse and use as radio frequency technology to place phone calls, download applications, or surf the web. Your hosts for K1 Tech Talk are Charles Miller from NBR Electronics and Charles Mull from IT Village. If it's technology, we'll take your calls and answer your technology questions. Feel free to get in on the conversation. Just pick up the phone, whether it's a rotary dial, touch tone, or cellular, and get connected. Call 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936 and get on the air. Whatever the topic, it's time now for K1 Tech Talk.
Good morning, 24 degrees, it's 7:31 on KWON, AM 1400, FM 93.3. Evan Farbach, and I'm with Charles Mall this morning as we're talking technology. Yeah. How's it going over there? You brought in a device this morning.
Well, I brought my Kindle. I'm trying to get my Kindle to work as good as my iPad, and it's kind of a challenge because, you know, the Kindle, they kind of restricted the Android functionality, so instead of being like a full Android, it gives you most of the functionality, you know, because this is designed to be a Kindle. You know, it's a reader,
right?
But it still works well. I like it.
So what if if we want to jump right into the specifics? What's the difference if I was going to buy a family member of mine a Kindle versus an iPad? What are you getting or losing with one versus the other?
Well, the apps just aren't quite the same. Like Android has got probably almost as many apps as the iPhone does. But when you go to a Kindle, it's like you're getting a subset. Like, for example, there's a portal that I use called Same Page, and there's no app for it on the Kindle, but there is on the Android and on the iPad. So I use it quite a bit. As a matter of fact, I've got my cousins, overseas cousins, plugged into the portal because we're actually using it as kind of a collecting point for all our family tree information. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to basically create that a shared space so that we can basically start collecting all these things from all over the place to kind of put our family tree puzzle together.
I guess crowdsourcing that amongst your family would probably be a lot easier than you just having to go on there and do it yourself.
Oh, yeah. See, that's what I'm trying to do is find key players in our family, you know, in different parts of the world that can actually kind of pursue those branches of the tree. So it's working out pretty good. We're just getting started with it.
If you've got a technology question this morning for Mr. Mall, you can give us a phone call on Tech Talk. Phone number is 918-336-1400, 918-336-1400, or toll free at 1-800-749-5936. And what else is going on in your world this week?
Well, this week I had my InfraGuard meeting, which InfraGuard is the FBI organization that has to do with kind of critical infrastructures. You know, a lot of it was focused around cybercrime, you know, like people breaking into this or that. And so the FBI has this program that basically is designed to work for both the public sector and the private sector to share this information so we know, you know, what attacks to look for, you know, and it's a great resource as far as helping you kind of run things down and finding out what's really happening. So that was a good exercise this week. So we actually have a teleconference set up on Wednesdays. You know, we typically have the first Wednesday of the month as our regular meeting time. And this last one, we did we listened to a presentation out of Oklahoma City by this guy who was the IT director for the Tinker Credit Union. And it was all about disaster recovery. So they went through the whole process of when the Moore tornado hit. Remember how it just wiped out that town practically? Well, their credit union was right smack in the middle. And so they went play by play, you know, 1,300 hours, this happened, 1,310, this happened. And so as the building just kind of swept away and people were kind of taking shelter, this play by play was really a good, it was a good insight into how do you really prepare for those things and be able to take care of those, you know, immediate issues right away.
What were some of them? What did they have done there in the first couple hours?
Well, just kind of locking things down. Like, for example, there was some people that were just walking in the street. And they said they were walking by a credit union, one of their competitors, and they wouldn't even let them in. So, you know, here they were, the tornado was coming, so they actually had them come in, and they basically secured the building. Hmm. You know, got away from the windows and locked the safe, put all the boxes and kind of secured them. but everything was just very well organized, and that's why it was really impressive to find, you know, people who really go the nth degree to be really prepared for those things. But there's always something that you don't plan for, and that's kind of what this was about, is those little things that you don't think about, because, you know, he was the only guy that was actually on site, and he had to secure the whole facility that was just flattened, because he was there within about 20, well, it took him about 30, 45 minutes just to get to it, because he had to walk a mile, because it was it was all devastated. but it was an interesting to see his actually progression, as, you know, one thing led to another, and it's calling people up, you know, getting everybody mobilized, basically, you know, when there's no communication. And his key way of communicating was text messaging, which was interesting. The cell towers were down, but text messaging still worked, which I thought was interesting, because I thought you had to have the cell towers.
Yeah, so did I, yeah.
Yeah, to get your text messaging to work. But he said that's how he communicated. That's how he got people there. And so all the services that kind of happened were just kind of click, 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 you know. And it's nice to have that kind of a plan organized, you know, so that when things happen, because they've changed a lot of policies in how they dealt with it, because they had a branch manager there that was responsible for the facility. Well, she had so much responsibility. It was just an overwhelming thing. So now they have two people that actually help kind of balance that, because when you're in disaster mode, you know, it's pretty stressful.
You know, you talk about that kind of stuff and relate it back to technology a little bit, and I guess that kind of underscores the need for backing things up to something other than that you've got in your possession, if that makes sense. You can't just have everything that you need technology-wise, and so much of what we do now financially and otherwise is stored on computers. You need to have a backup of that somewhere that's not just on that device, not just necessarily because of tornado, but if you lose it or it gets broken.
Sure.
Or
sure. Typically, whatever. What I tell people, it's good to have it at least two places, but preferably three. So you have it on your device where you're accessing it, and so some of that may just be remote, so your data may not actually reside on your iPad or laptop. You may just be, like, for example, in the case of this credit union, all their data was at the remote site. You know, right. It wasn't actually physically at that location, so they were really pretty well protected. But there is stuff that is, you know, like, you know, their customer information. They had to secure that stuff, because, and they were actually able to secure everything except, I think, there was one record. It was some personnel record for one person was the only thing that could not find, and who knows what state it was in. It was somewhere, but it right. got blown away.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, and that's something, honestly, I had not really thought of on the tornado side of things, is you think of homes and schools and hospitals getting hit and stuff like that, but there are places with sensitive information and money on hand and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's important to buckle down.
Oh, yeah. Safety deposit boxes. Yeah. You know, all that stuff is not going to be somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So you have to secure those things, and that's part of this exercise, because they got a helicopter to come out and actually take the safe and move it somewhere.
Wow.
The safety deposit box, you know, had to be secured. And so they had contractors. So all those people were basically, you know, brought out in a sequential order. But things didn't happen real quickly because of the nature of the disaster. You know, it was just like you had to walk a mile just to get to it, because the streets were just, you know, not passable. You couldn't drive, you know, close enough.
Talking technology this morning on K1 Tech Talk. Once again, if you have a question for Charles Mall of the IT Village, you can give us a phone call, 918-336-1400, 918-336-1400. We'll take a break and have more Tech Talk after this.
Valentine's Day is tomorrow, and there's still time to thrill your Valentine with chocolate-covered strawberries from Russell Stover Candies. Delight her with a gift of fresh strawberries hand-dipped in luscious chocolate and packaged in a beautiful red heart box. Russell Stover chocolate-covered strawberries are the most romantic Valentine's Day gift you can give. Russell Stover has two Tulsa area locations, just east of Highway 169 on 71st and in Utica Square. They have extended hours through Valentine's Day, so stop by. She'll be so glad you did.
Great fans are part of what helps lead the team to victory. That's why American Heritage Bank is your number one fan. Since 1905, American Heritage Bank has put its customers and communities first. As a full-service bank, American Heritage is committed to meeting your banking needs. Whether you need us once a week or once a month, we are here to serve you. Visit us online at ahb-ok.com and let us be your number one fan. American Heritage Bank. Simply better banking. Member FDIC.
24 degrees, 20 minutes until 8 o'clock on K1, AM 1400, FM 93.3. Hope that your Saturday morning is going well. Evan Farbach with Charles Mall of the IT Village this morning. If you'd like to give us a phone call and ask him a technology-related question, he's the software guy, the hardware guy. Charles Miller is off singing and dancing somewhere, I think.
Yeah, he's off in Cushing today. Yeah. So they have a concert there that's going to be a big deal because, yeah, they just got their album out and they've got some new music. That's a cool thing they're doing.
918-336-1400 is the phone number to call if you missed it to talk to Mr. Miller this morning. We were talking off air, you know, and we talked about the tornado and emergency preparedness thing that you went through earlier this week. But backing things, I guess that underscores the importance of making sure you have a backup for things.
Yep. As a matter of fact, that's why the cloud-type applications are getting to be so popular, because your data actually doesn't reside there locally. It resides somewhere remote where it's getting backed up and they've got their redundancy and what have you. But when you do have to deal with local stuff, yeah, you have to have some kind of a game plan. And that's why this week there was one that had a total system failure where the machine just would not boot. I mean, data was there.
The computer, I'm assuming?
The computer. It was a Windows machine, mm-hmm. and it just wouldn't start. So I had to go into disaster recovery mode and actually recover the image, which I might bring up the fact that on the types of backup that you really need. Because, like, if you have your data, it's one thing. But, you know, if you don't have the applications to run that data, it really doesn't do you any good. So that's why you have to have an image backup of that particular device so that you can restore the operating system, everything, without having to manually build it like you did initially. So that's what I had to do this week, and I used a image backup program, and lo and behold, when I get this thing restored, you would think it would just boot, right? I mean, that was the problem initially. The machine wouldn't boot, and repair didn't work, the system recovery didn't work, so you basically were just kind of dead in the water. So I had to manually go into this system to find out where some of the system files were and recover some previous versions manually, which was kind of unusual, but this is where software doesn't always work. And what happened in this particular case is the image backup was done when there was some kind of automated backup going on. And you know, like for example, with the newer operating system like Windows 10, they don't give you an option. It does an update whenever it wants to do an update.
Right.
Well, if it's actually in the middle of that and you have to restart before that happens, and that's what happened in this case. Some of the files were old, some of them were new, and that's why it wouldn't boot. Hmm. So that was kind of an interesting challenge trying to get past that.
It sounds like one, certainly one that I wouldn't have been able to figure out at all.
Well, that's why we do this kind of stuff, is because, disaster strikes when you least expect it.
I was thinking while we were talking about saving things and losing things and so on and so forth, I can remember back when I was in high school, which I guess is kind of long now. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but just, 7 or 8 years ago, you really had to make sure that you saved everything you were doing all the time. And that was kind of a novel concept at first when you were going through writing a paper, is what it usually was for me, but for anyone, it can be anything else. You had to go through and kind of manually save it. And it seems like anymore, and you even see this on emails now, I notice it happens all the time, the thing saves it for you somewhere,
yes,
whether you want it to or not or whatever. And it's come in handy a few times for me writing a sports cast or doing something else, that it'll automatically just store it somewhere and you had nothing to do with it. I don't even think that I could find it, except that when you open up the application again, and usually it's Microsoft Word for me, it'll say, do you want to recover this document that you accidentally deleted or whatever to, and then you can pick it right back up where you left off. And as I said, you see the same thing with emails. It'll save those emails as a draft. So if you are writing an email and happen to click the X after you're five paragraphs in, you can get to the fourth paragraph, if you go down there and look in your drafts, is it automatically stored it in there.
Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of stuff kind of built in now to kind of help protect you. Like the Office software, for example, any of the newer versions, they automatically save everything. But the way most applications work when you're working on documents or spreadsheets, you know, what it does, it creates a file initially, and then it creates a, like when you come in and to modify it, it actually creates a new one and starts working on that new one. So it's always saving that copy that's actually on your disk. So it's nice that it automatically does that stuff for you. And like on the email side, that's why it's hard to set up a POP connection now. POP is used to be the way that everybody picked up mail. It actually transfers the mail from your mail, you know, provider to your local machine, and it's not there anymore. So it's actually on your local machine. So you're responsible for backing it up or taking care of it, because if it goes away, you know, you lose all that stuff. That's why they have the option of saving some of those. But the new ones, like for example, when you set up a Mac or really any of the newer clients, it automatically takes you to IMAP. And IMAP is the protocol that basically downloads the emails just for viewing. It actually stays on the server, so that way you don't have to worry about losing it. It's there.
We've got a phone call this morning for Charles Miller, 24 degrees, 14 minutes until 8 o'clock. Good morning. You're on Tech Talk.
Good morning. We have a Samsung smartphone, and it's a couple of years old. The part where you plug it into to charge the battery, it's kind of damaged. Only certain plugs work for it. How easy and how expensive of a repair is that?
Well, that's really more of a Charles Miller thing.
Yeah.
You know, and he, you know, he's the one that runs NBR Electronics. You know, my partner in crime that we don't get to see today because he's out and about. But NBR Electronics is over there on Keeler, you know, next to Cup and Cakes. And if you go by there, he'll actually look at it for you and could do that repair. But I can't tell you prices or anything, but I know he can handle it because he deals with that all the time. Because that's one of the weaknesses of those power connectors, both on laptops and the phones, is they get used so much. You know, when you're plugging things off, when you're pulling on either the phone or the laptop, you kind of loosen that connection, and sometimes there's no other way to go to fix that without just replacing it or soldering it back or, you know, kind of bringing it back into play.
Okay. All right, well, I'll go visit him.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Thanks so much. Right. Once again, the phone number is 918-336-1400, 918-336-1400 if you have a technology-related question this morning. And, Charles Miller down there right off Keeler near Adams Boulevard handles all that stuff. You can fix your cell phone screen if you've dropped it, which it seems to be less of that going on. I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but of course, I'm kind of specifically talking about iPhones now, as you see that kind of spider-webbed, shattered glass. It seems like you've seen less of that with the 6, at least I have. Maybe my friends are just getting more responsible. I don't know. But it seemed like when I was in college, all those 4s and 5s were broken almost all the time. And now that we've moved on to the 6 and the 6S, it doesn't seem like I see as many of those shattered screens any longer.
Yeah, you know, I think they did change the screens so that they're actually more resilient. You know, they're more like an acrylic type surface instead of just all glass. And I don't know if that's actually the case, but I know they're very solid and they're more pliable. So they actually have give to them instead of being so rigid, you know, with that glass that they just shatter. So they've done quite a bit to make that, you know, droppable or, you know, where people can, you know, just, you know, be rough on it and it doesn't break the screen like the other ones.
Yeah, and I would guess if you dropped it on the corner of a cabinet or something, it'd probably still break pretty good. But of course, I don't think the 5 was this way, but the 4 was, where it was glass on both sides,
mm-hmm.
which looks pretty, but seemed impractical to me. And it certainly seemed like it was that way because the back of those phones were always broken all the time as well, just the same as the front.
Yep, they've changed a lot. So, yeah, sure, they're evolving. They're getting better.
And they're pretty to look at without the case on. I took my 6 out of the case as we were talking about it. Boy, it sure is pretty and fits in your hand nice, but I don't think I'd ever want to really walk around with it outside of that thing very much. It makes me nervous just sitting there doing it.
I hear you. The tablets are kind of the same way because they're bigger even.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know, when they fall, they just make that much more of a crash. So, they're still glass. I mean, you just have to remember they're glass. So
we'll take another break this morning on K1 Tech Talk. Once again, if you have a phone number, 918-336-1400, the number to call, 10 minutes till 8 o'clock.
I'm visiting with Brandon Huff from Bartlesville Custom Cabinets. You can basically do most of the remodeling job yourself, or you can recommend plumbers, electricians, too.
Along the lines of building all the custom cabinet, we also have a full remodel crew running. We're able to pull our own subs that work for just us. It's a lot quicker and easier for me to make a phone call and need a plumber or electrician or any of those kind of guys. So we turnkey many, many kitchens and bathrooms a year.
Bartlesville Custom Cabinets, providing all your cabinet needs. 398681 West 2400 Road. Call 918-440-5981 to get a free estimate on your new project.
New to Pawhuska is Premier Gun and Pawn. Not so new to Pawhuska are pawnbrokers and owners John and Debbie Long. They've opened their doors where you'll find almost anything, with new items arriving every week. Artwork, beautiful, hard-to-find antiques, Pendletons, broadcloth and beading supplies, small and large cedar chest, along with a cedar armoire. Hand-carved, life-size, and smaller wood art, and many unique items are in the mix, with guns, ammo, fishing, and hunting supplies. They carry high-end, handmade guns, collector guns, and then your very affordable guns. Many to choose from. You'll find tools, tackle, knives, gold and silver jewelry, gold and silver coins for the coin collector, and metal signs as you peruse the large open space of the newly opened Premier Gun and Pawn. And yes, they buy gold and silver, so stop by. Hours are Tuesday through Friday, 9 till 6, and Saturdays 9 till 2. Premier Gun and Pawn at 540 Kaihika in Pawhuska. Call 918-287-3456.
Winter is here, and Old Man Winter is knocking on the door. Keep him at bay with a new Train home comfort system from Ernest Heat and Air. Keep the cold where it belongs, outdoors. Lower your utilities with a higher efficient furnace and use that extra cash for a nice summertime vacation. Purchase a home comfort high efficiency system before time runs out, and they'll give you a free furnace. Call Ernest Heat and Air today at 918-335-3057. 918-335-3057. And remember, it's hard to stop a train.
24 degrees, 8 minutes left on K1 Tech Talk this morning, 752. Once again, the phone number is I'm Evan Farbach along with Charles Mall of the IT Village. If you have a question for him, 918-336-1400, the number to call. We were talking about charging ports because the guy just called in and was talking about maybe needing that one repaired, and I think I saw it, or maybe heard it on the radio, in fact, on one of our ABC or CBS news reports, that Apple is investing quite a bit in the wireless charging now, and that's going to be something that's coming in the near future. And we've seen that for a little while, several years, where if you set your device down on top of something, it can charge it. But now it sounds like we're moving toward, I don't know exactly how to work, but you don't have to set it down on anything. It's just going to charge it somehow through the air. I don't know. Maybe you'd be able to describe it better than I can, because yeah, it didn't make any sense to me.
Right. Actually, Samsung came up with a first, and that's why the iPhone is kind of pushing to get theirs out about the same time, because I think in April is when you can expect those, because that would be handy. Just sit your phone down on a surface, and it just charges. So yeah, I think the whole battery thing is going to get a lot of attention, because there's so many of these devices out there now, and people are looking for more convenience. And like, for example, with mine, the Samsung, you know, it takes a lot more juice. You know, they're probably twice as dense as the iPhones, so they get hotter, and the batteries just use more juice, so they don't last as long. That's what my daughters say about their iPhones. I said, hands down, they like them so much better because they don't have to worry about charging it. They last a long time, you know, on one charge.
Yeah, and I've got the 6 now, and it seems, and maybe, once again, I've just been nicer to this phone than I have been to my other. I had a 4 and a 5, so I'm on that string. And it seems like this battery is by far the best one of any of the ones I've had.
Especially
after I've had this one for about a year and a half now. And, you know, usually when you get those cell phone plans from Verizon or AT&T or whatever, they have you on 2 years, and then they try to sucker you into getting another one. And we would usually do that because it seemed like it was running. It wasn't just the battery. It was buttons, and it was just moving slow. And by the time 2 years was up, the thing was, you know, probably needing to be replaced or fixed or something. Well, I'm about a year and a half into this one, and I think it works the same today as it did the day that I got it. So
yeah, battery technology is really, really much better on those. Like on my on my Samsung, I had to take some apps off that I knew were taking a lot of my CPU and battery power. So I, like for example, you know, Facebook, if you look, see how much resources Facebook takes, it takes quite a bit.
Yeah.
But the messenger that comes with the Facebook, which they kind of force you to use because you can't get to that, you know, the texting side, the instant messaging side of Facebook. So that is, it takes more juice than Facebook itself. So.
Yeah, and in fact, it's funny you mentioned that because I was up here working and listening to Rush Limbaugh, who's here on K1, and he's really into technology stuff, and he'll tangent off on that sometimes. And he was talking about, he said something like a quarter of your battery life could be saved daily if you just started using Safari or Chrome or whatever to get on Facebook rather than used the Facebook app. It wouldn't suck near as much of the energy and whatever from your battery if you just would use that. And if you use it on your Safari or Chrome or whatever, your browser app, instead of the Facebook app, you don't have to get that kind of silly, I call it silly, it's just a personal preference, but Messenger app. They don't have to have two apps for the darn thing. You can just get on the internet and use it.
The thing to watch out for with those apps is most of them are just using you as far as pulling data from your all the time. So it's really not knowing what those applications actually do are much of a concern as anything, you know, because, you know, it's not just a privacy issue. It's you got security concerns because if there's back doors in there, because they're basically just feeding all this information out. And most of it really isn't in your own best interest. It's in theirs.
So, yeah. I've got the Facebook app, but I didn't particularly like that they were going to make me get the other one, so I just didn't get it out of spite, I guess. And now I'm thinking about just deleting the whole thing off of there anyway, because I'm hearing all that about the batteries winding down because of the Facebook app. We've got about 3 minutes left on K1 Tech Talk. Last call for calls. If you have a question for Mr. Maul, you can give us a phone call, 918-336-1400. And Charles, why don't you kind of run through and tell people where they can find you, and if they have a software-related technology issue in the area, Charles Maul is your guy.
Yeah, basically, you know, I work on infrastructure stuff, so most of my customers are small businesses, but I do a lot for, like, nonprofits and individuals as well. But I kind of have a private portal where I basically do my little dog and pony shows, and you can access that through itvillagetours.com, and that's my site that actually takes you to a calendar, and there's a link in there for a login. So I'll share those with my regular customers so that we can kind of share a lot of this information and help people on down the road.
itvillagetours.com is how you can get a hold of him. Charles Miller, who is not with us today, he is NBR Electronics, and as we mentioned, it's down there in the professional building next to Cup and Cake off Keeler and Adams in downtown Bartlesville. I've been in there once or twice, and I still have that DVD CD stuck in my CD port of that computer, which is something that he can handle along with your charging ports or shattered screens or TVs. I know he always says that he's way behind on TVs, so I guess a lot of TVs are breaking. I've never had a TV break in my short life of owning TVs, so maybe I've just lucked out.
Yeah,
I don't know. It seems like a lot of them are breaking.
It could be.
And I don't know. It seemed like I can remember it as well, my parents having a few TVs kink out on us before they got to be flat. Are they lasting longer or shorter? I don't know.
Yeah, they're changing. That's all I can say.
Well, that's true. And anymore, you almost need a projector more than you saw a TV. It seems like a lot of my friends that had big homes in high school, they had the projector type of thing. And you weren't allowed to jump up and down because if you knocked that projector down, it was a big deal. I remember that.
Yeah, but now the big screens are taking over.
Yep. Well, that'll do it for K1 Tech Talk this morning. Charles, appreciate it. We'll see you next week.
Very good.
K1 AM 1400, FM 93.3. It's 24 degrees, 7:59. We've got news coming up at the top of the hour. Then we'll have Green Country Gardener up next as well. Good morning from K1.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227 CQ Bartlesville.